Well, thank you, worship team. It's great to be here on January 1st. I can't think of a better way to start off the year than being in God's house and being with you, being together with family and starting out together. It's January 1st, so we know what that means. It's 364 days away from Christmas, right? So we can go ahead and start preparing. In fact, I'm fine if we leave up the Christmas decorations and trees. You know, I'm okay with that. At home, maybe just leave your Christmas lights up. But don't leave your inflatables up. Okay? We don't really like inflatables. You know, you take those down, bring those back up next year. But we love Christmas, and yesterday we took our tree down, and our older son Brent, you know, didn't like that. We didn't like that. But we are looking forward to the new year, and we're looking forward to what God has in store for us. You know, thinking about what to talk about today, my plan was to have, you know, just this message, a new message, something that was really going to be profound and inspiring and eye-opening and different, maybe something that we hadn't heard before. But the more I thought and prayed about it, and I realized that, and the more I get into God's Word, that a lot of times the task before us isn't necessarily learning something new. It's putting into practice that which we already know, that which we are already told. It's doing it. It's living the life that we're called to live. And I kept going back to the concept of journey, being on a journey. You know, last year, the Christmas season, Pastor Monty, he gave a series on coming home for Christmas. And we looked at the Christmas story, and we looked at the journey of Mary and Joseph. We looked at the journey of the shepherds and the wise men. And truthfully, we're all, regardless of our season of life, we're all on a journey. And the truth is, though, is that the journey is really not about us. It's not surrounding us. We are invited to be part of a bigger story, a kingdom journey, one that gives life and is made available to everyone through Jesus Christ. But see, on our journey, it doesn't take much to get us off track. And usually, as we're going along in life and as we're pursuing this journey, it's not the big detours, it's not the hard left turns that mess us up. It's the incremental things, right? It's the subtle shifts in our trajectory that get us off course. It's not always the big things like, you know, lying and cheating and stealing. We know those things are wrong, but it's the cumulative effect of compromise and drift. And we end up somewhere that we really didn't plan on being, because over time, we drifted. And like I said, it's not always the big things. A couple years ago, we were our younger son, Ethan, was, you know, 5 or 6, and we were driving back home after Wednesday night activities. And just a quick little plug for Wednesday nights, I'd encourage you, those if you have kids or you don't have kids, to come on Wednesdays. Just what goes on here is amazing, and Danny and his team do a remarkable job with our kids. But we were driving home, and Rebecca and I always ask Brent and Ethan, you know, what did you talk about on Wednesday night? It's like, you know, what did you learn? What did you discuss? And a couple years ago, we asked the question, and we said, what did you learn on Wednesday night? And Ethan said, we learned not to murder. It's like, okay, so you're doing a great job, Danny. Yeah, I mean, we are teaching the basics here at The Rock. Don't murder. And so we're still good on that, kids, right? We're still, okay, yeah, we're not, don't murder. And we know that those are the big things. But like I said, a lot of times the detours in our life come from distractions. They come from misplaced opportunities. And taking perhaps what is a good thing and making it an idol and something that we pursue instead of pursuing Jesus. And before we know it, we're off track, off course, and on our way to disappointment. So how do we avoid that? Or if we veered off course, how do we get back? And it's my prayer that as individuals and a church that we prepare ourselves for this journey into the new year. So I want to go over a few things. The first point, and this is something that my dad used to say. He used to say, get light. Get light. How many of you overpack when you're traveling? A lot of us, right? A lot of us overpack. Because there's stuff we think we're going to need, right? We're going to think, and if the weather's changing, good gracious. It's like, well, you got to pack for the, because it might be cold, might be warm. Before Christmas, our family, we took a trip to Georgia. We were only gone 3 days, and we had a van, and we looked like the Beverly Hillbillies, like headed out. We had just loaded down. I was like, do we need all this? And then you get back, and you open up your suitcase, and you got a lot of clean clothes like that you didn't wear, and you're packing those up. We have the tendency to overpack, right? We load our bags down. And I think in life, we do that too. We put things in our bags that may be good, but again, the cumulative effect on that, it weighs us down, and it's heavy. And maybe some things that are not good. And Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's throw it off. So we're told, we're instructed to get rid of those things that weigh us down. And so I want you to think about it. What could you get rid of that would make your life better? What is it that you could release that would give you a lighter load in 2023? And I'm going to list a few things that I think are weights that we tend to carry, and we could list a lot more, but the first is our past. I think sometimes we tend to bring things with us in our past that cause us regret, that may cause us shame, that may cause us fear. And you know, we're instructed to let those things go, because they can hamper our walk. They can cause us to live in a place to where we aren't anymore. And if there's something about your past that you don't like or that you regret, the good news is you can be forgiven of that. That you can be cleansed of whatever that sin is, that you can be made new through Christ. And I think a lot of times we know that, but we still carry the burden of the past. And if there's something in your past that you don't like, give it to God. Allow God to forgive you and change you, and let it go. And realize that if you don't like it, then that's a sign that you're growing. That's good. That's a good thing, because where you are today isn't where you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So if we have to cut that. We have to sever the ties of the past. And as Scripture says, to move forward. Release the regret. Release those things that are weighing you down. Number two is worry. You know, we talk about worry and anxiety so much, and we sang about it today. We sang about the hope that we have in Christ, that we don't have to worry, we don't have to carry those burdens. But why do you think there's so much Scripture about not worrying and not being afraid? Because we're prone to worry and we're prone to be afraid. And the problem, I think, with worry a lot, or the reason that we worry, is because it gives us the illusion of control. We think we can do something about everything around us that we can't control, and so we worry. In Max Lucado's book, Traveling Light, he said, anxiety splits our energy between today's priorities and tomorrow's problems. Part of our mind is on the now, the rest is on the not yet. The result is half-minded living. So we're not in the present because we're so worried about the future. And because we're not in the present, there's things in the present that we don't notice and we can't enjoy and we can't focus on because we're worried. And it's a weight and it's heavy. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. I'm going to read that part again. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, than the body, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Does it change anything? You know, it doesn't. It doesn't change anything. So it goes on to say, and I'm going to pick up in verse 31. It says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. So what are we to do? Well, Scripture tells us, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love that in Scripture because, don't you all agree, each day has enough problems. And one of the phrases in our house lately has been, you know, that's a tomorrow problem. You know, that's a tomorrow problem. Like, we're trying to get through today. That's a tomorrow problem. We'll worry about that tomorrow. We'll address that tomorrow. So worry is something that just that weighs us down. And then by releasing that to God, it's a way of getting lighter. Another thing that weighs us down, especially in our society today, is busyness. If you look around, everything around you is trying to get your attention, right? It's trying to get your focus. It's trying to get your attention, your time, your money, your resources. And that's something all of us have to wrestle with, a full schedule, a busy calendar. And it seems like today success is measured by more. And that's not the case because the truth is we can't do it all. You can't do everything. And trying to keep up with our neighbors or keep up with our friends on social media, it's not going to lead to joy. It's only going to lead to burnout. But we have this temptation that's all around us. You said you have to do more. We have to do more. You know, there's the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. And sometimes the more, it's good stuff. It's too much, and it leads to burnout. Revelation 3:20 says this, says, "Here I am," Jesus is speaking, "here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." And I think about that verse, and I think about like being at a party. If you've ever had a dinner party or been at a party, and there's a lot of commotion and chaos and noise, and then someone comes to the door, sometimes you don't hear them, right? You don't hear the doorbell. You don't hear the knock at the door. And I think that's a metaphor for how we live our lives sometimes. We're so busy. We're so distracted. We're going from one event to the next event to the next thing to the next thing, and we don't hear the knock because there's so much commotion. And so I know it's easier said than done, but I think one thing for us to be, as Christ followers, to live that healthy, that holy, and the abundant life is to not allow ourselves to be so bogged down with busyness, and that means we're going to have to get better at mastering the art of saying no. We can't do it all. We can't do everything because we have to stay focused. And so we want to make sure that as we're moving forward, we're getting light. We're releasing those things that are weighing us down. Next, we want to get nourishment. We want to get nourishment. Now, over the past few weeks, we probably haven't been getting the best physical nourishment, right? There's been lots of casseroles, lots of cakes, lots of cookies and candy canes. And so maybe some of the New Year's resolutions, in fact, one of the top New Year's resolutions every year is people want to get healthier. They're trying to recover from the food coma that they've been in from the holidays, right? And there's a lot of junk food that's out there, and it tastes good, but, you know, over time, it doesn't make you feel good, and it's not healthy. Well, there's also a lot of spiritual junk food that's out there today, and we have access to so much information, so many things around us, and we have to be careful about what we put into not just our bodies, but our minds. I have my cell phone here, and I've got a lot of apps here. I've got my Bible app. I've got the weather app. That's a must-have. My calendar. I've got some podcasts. So I've got some good things on here, but I also have Google, YouTube, social media. I have things that can quickly get me off course and get me distracted, and there's information, and there are things that if I'm not careful, I'll get off course. I mean, just preparing for this message, I had to fight the temptation of, you know, checking messages, checking email, watching YouTube videos on hunting or jujitsu. I mean, there's so many things that get us off track and off course. And so we have to be careful about what we put into our minds and our hearts. John 6:35 said, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So really, any source outside of Jesus is going to leave us empty and wanting more. And so we really have to be careful, because what we're being fed is where we're being led. And so be careful what you're feeding yourself, what you're seeing. Matthew 6, 22-23 says, your eye is a lamp that provides light for the body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with life. When your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And this next part of the verse is a zinger. It said, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So we have to be very careful to make sure that what we're putting in, the light, that it is not leading us to that path of darkness, that it's not eroding and corroding our minds. So what are we? So if we're supposed to stay away from the distractions, the things that are bad, the things that are unholy, what are we supposed to do? Well, Philippians 4:8, and this is not up on the screen, but it says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So those are the things that we need to bring into our minds and our heads, and we need to seek those types of stimuli. You know, we have a 13-month-old foster daughter, Tasha, and, you know, Rebecca and I are kind of back into the infant season again, which for you parents know can be tough and challenging. And a lot of times in the morning, I'll get up with her and take her outside. She's an outdoors girl and she loves to be outside. And so we'll go outside just as the sun's coming up, and I'm showing her the squirrels, the birds, just the sun. You know, I'm showing her these things, just trying to introduce her to the morning. I'm doing this for her, right? But you know what? I'm out there looking at the birds, looking at the squirrel, seeing the sunrise, and this is the beauty. This is what's good. This is what's healthy. But that's not what screams at you in the morning. What screams at you in the morning are these. What screams at you in the morning is news. What screams at you in the morning is television and other things. And so one thing that I've tried to get in the habit of doing is when I wake up in the morning, that my mornings, I try to preserve those. Those are precious times. And I don't go to my iPhone. I definitely don't go to social media. And don't turn on the news, because these are things that are going to get into your mind. And they're likely not going to start your day off well. And that brings us back to what we were talking about earlier, about worry. Because then you start worrying about the day. You start worrying about what you see on TV. You start to get that angst, that anxiety, that anger. And so we need to make sure that the nourishment that we're getting daily is nourishment that's healthy and that's leading us in the right direction. Those things that are pure, that are good, that are of God. And then the next thing that we need to do to stay on course is serving others. You know, have that mindset of service. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You know, there's so much research showing today that by helping others, you're also helping yourself. That there's value, that it's not just about getting. It's not about getting. It's about giving. And as parents, we understand that around Christmas, right? And kids, you don't understand this at all. One day you will. But we get value. We get blessing by seeing you be blessed. And so as followers of Christ, we're called to be imitators of Christ. And what did Christ do? He came to serve. And so we need to serve. The world tells you to take care of yourselves, to pursue things for yourselves. but we need to have an attitude of service. Acts 20, 35 says, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help others in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So on this journey, let's look for those moments to be able to serve, to show kindness. How many of you heard about the teacher that was stranded at the Tampa airport recently, you know, with all the flight delays of Southwest, and she was there, and her flight was canceled, and so she went back, and she was trying to find her luggage, and she was at the baggage area, and she looked around, and she said, "There's just a sea of luggage, and people had lost their luggage. Luggage are in different airports, and people are in the Tampa airport not knowing where their luggage is, and it's just a mess." So her husband was at the counter, and she saw all this luggage, and she started walking through, and she saw luggage tags. And on a lot of the luggage tags, we find what? Information. And so she went through, and she started texting the people, according to the information, about their luggage. And here's what she texted out. She said, "Your bag is in Tampa by claim 15, door 166. I'm just a random person looking for my luggage too." She sent out 70 text messages in 2 hours. And she started getting messages back. "Oh, thank you so much. You know, you made my day. I appreciate you doing this." And one person sent her a Dunkin' Donuts or a Dunkin' gift card. And so she started getting all this feedback. And it was so extravagant that the news caught on, and they did a story, and they interviewed her, and they said, "You know, why did you do this?" And her name is Brittany LaBear Vervish, and she said, "There are people out there doing big things to help others. I did like the smallest thing, and just because it just presented itself, and I was able to do it." And I think it's the smallest things, the small things, that can make the biggest impact. So as we go on this journey, as we go to work and school, think about ways, look for ways to do those small random acts of kindness. You never know what it's going to lead to. It will bless others. It will bless you. Kids, when you're going back to school, I know that's a bad word, right? But when you go back to school, if you want to be different, if you want to change the atmosphere around you, just be kind to other kids. You stand out. You'll stand out, and you'll bless others, and you'll be blessed along the way. So be kind. Notice people. And finally, we want to trust in the Lord. You know, we talked about that, and we've sung about that, trusting in the Lord. The truth is you're going to trust something, and you're going to trust someone. And a lot of times we trust ourselves. We trust our feelings. We trust where we are in the moment. But that can be dangerous. And if you live long enough, you know the disaster that can come from just trusting yourself and your thoughts and your emotions. But trusting in the Lord is something that we'll never regret. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." You know, a lot of the times it doesn't make sense, but we know that we can trust. And when we trust God, when we put our faith in Him, that relieves the worry, that relieves the anxiety, that relieves the burden, because we're trusting in Him, we're looking to Him. And I didn't want to leave this part out, because we want to get light, we want to get nutrients. We want to get nourishment. We want to trust the Lord. But let's enjoy the journey. Let's enjoy the journey. Let's have fun. Let's make memories. Let's savor the sweet moments that are in front of us when we're able to slow down and not be so busy. And when things don't go exactly as you planned, try to make the most of that. It could work out in your favor. Earlier this year, or last year, in April, Rebecca and I took a trip to St. Augustine. And so we went to St. Augustine, and we were just going to be there for just a couple of days, and really just one full day. And so that we were there, and And that morning, and we kind of had the day planned, and that morning we went out and we did sailing lessons. We went out and learned how to sail. You know, kind of felt like, what about Bob? You know, I'm sailing, you know, with the life jacket on. And so we were going to sail that morning, and then the afternoon, we were going to come back and we were going to walk around St. Augustine and kind of see, you know, the old city and just some of the places. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. And so we got back, we had some lunch, and it just starts raining. Like, it's the pouring rain. It's messing up our plans. Our plans was, you know, to go out. And yeah, I've got my weather app out, you know, which, why do we do this? I mean, it's, you can look out the window, it's raining, and I'm like, okay, the percent chance of rain is 100. Like it's raining. And Rebecca said, let's just go. And I was like, well, my weather app here is like saying, you know. And I said, well, my umbrella's in the car. She's like, we don't need umbrellas. Let's go. And like, Rebecca's the nicest, sweetest person in the world. She has an adventure streak to her. Like, you know, she's, you know, if you see a motorcycle in the parking lot, you know, it might be hers. And so I'm like, all right, we're going to do it. And I wish I could say, like, it wasn't lightning, and it was lightning. And so we put on our clothes, and she said, you know, we can, you know, clothes dry. I think that's what she said, clothes dry. So we went out in the rain, and just we toured the little old city, walked around, walked into shops, and we'd go into shops soaked, and, you know, we'd get a coffee and then kind of sit at the window and watch people as they're, you know, getting soaked. But it was an adventure. In fact, I put a picture up here. This is like, Rebecca looks like I'm like a drowned rat there. And so we're just out, we're walking around in the rain. And we, by the way, we weren't the only ones doing that. But I thought about it. I was like, you know, that the bad weather made for a fun adventure, which gave us a great memory. And the truth is some things are just not going to go your way. In fact, you know this, a lot of things this year are not going to go your way, not going to go as planned. But it's what you do with that that may be a better adventure than what you had planned to begin with. So enjoy the journey. So to sing, to dance, to laugh, do these things, whether no one is looking or in the public in the rain, but just enjoy the journey and seize the day. I don't know what this year is going to hold for you. There probably will be highs and lows, fun surprises and unexpected setbacks. There will be scenic highways of wide open road. There will also be potholes and detours and heavy traffic. There will be days of smooth sailing in the sun, and there will be days of rough waters and rain, and maybe even storms. But as Pastor Kim said this morning, we're not alone. That God is with us. He's with us when the sun is shining, and He's with us when the rain is pouring. And that understanding that God is with us is all that we need for the journey that's ahead. We are not alone. Over the holidays, you know, we watch a lot of Christmas movies, and I'm sure you all do as well. And one of the staples is Home Alone, right? Everybody watches Home Alone. And the whole theme behind Home Alone is that the McAllisters are getting ready, they're busy, there's so much commotion that's going on in their house, and they leave for the airport in that chaos, in that busyness, thinking Kevin is with them, but he's not. But they think he is, and they're acting as if he's with them, and then they're on the plane, and then Mom, you know, has the realization that, oh, we left Kevin. Well, as Christians, I think we flip that. We do it the opposite. Where things are busy, things are chaos, and we live as if God is not with us when He's with us all the time. And that's really what I want to leave us with today, is that understanding that through the journey, God is with us. Psalm 139:7 says, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? I can't, because God is there. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, behold, I am always with you to the end of the age. And so we can take heart in knowing that this year, next year, and every year, and for eternity, God is with us. So I want to close with a psalm, and a lot of times this psalm is read at funerals. But I want to read this as we embark on a new year, because this psalm is really not about death, it's about life. It's about a journey, and you've heard it before, it's Psalm 23. So let me close out and read this psalm over us today. Psalm 23, and it'll be up on the screen. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your promise to never leave us. Thank you for being the lamp for our feet and the light for our path. Forgive us, Lord, for when we've gone astray and we've tried to do things our own way and we've veered and we've drifted along the journey. Lord, just bring us back into fellowship and into relationship with you. Lord, thank you that we're not past the point of return. Thank you that we've never gone too far to where you were out of your reach. Lord, we don't know what this year will bring. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But help us to rest in today's provisions and to trust that you will provide our needs according to your glory in Christ. Thank you that regardless of circumstances, we can always, always place our hope in you. You will never fail. It's in you we live and move and have our being. When things are going well and we feel we're on a mountain, Lord, we praise you because you are there. When life hurts and we feel we're crawling in the valley, we still praise you because you're in that valley with us. Help us to remember that for the children of God, the valley is never, never our permanent dwelling place. We're just passing through, and it's just part of that journey. I pray for those that are here today and those watching online that they would encounter you in a very special way this year, that through our journey, we would reach others and advance your kingdom here on earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.